Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. It features Joseph and tells one version of the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Emmanuel. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with the child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have come to the fourth week of Advent and thus the fourth gift that we are focusing on as we walk through Advent together. This week's gift is the gift of love. Now, we've looked at the gifts of peace and hope and joy, and with each of those gifts, there was a gift, that gift, that we received from God, as we in turn have a gift to share with God and with the world. Today's gift is no different than that, but it is a little bit different in that the gift that we give is also the gift of love. Today's gifts are one and the same, that we receive and that we give. It's an important gift, the gift of love, and it helps us to mark a transition point. Today is that bridge between the waiting of Advent and the celebration of the incarnation at Christmas. We heard Matthew's version of the birth of Christ in our scripture lesson this morning, and it's a little bit different than the story that we're used to hearing out of Luke. And don't worry, you'll hear that Christmas Eve on Tuesday. But Matthew tells the story a little differently, and he tells it in just a couple of phrases at the beginning and the end of the scripture lesson this morning. He says, "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. She had borne a son, and he named him Jesus." That's really all the detail we get from Matthew about the birth of Jesus. The rest of the reading is sort of in brackets if we're only looking for the birth of Jesus in Matthew's story. But it's not something that we're going to leave in brackets this morning because it gives us important insight into who this Messiah is, into who Joseph is, and into what the gift of love looks like. We're told that Mary is engaged to Joseph when she conceives a child by the power of the Holy Spirit. However, our modern definition of engagement doesn't really capture the fullness of what's going on in this relationship between Mary and Joseph in their engagement. In the days of Mary and Joseph, marriages were generally arranged by the father of the bride and the father of the groom, oftentimes settled while the children were quite young. About a year before the formal wedding was to take place, the bride and the groom would be entered into a contractual relationship, and this was the period of their engagement. At this point, they were legally considered married, and could only break off the relationship through a legal divorce proceeding. This year-long period before the wedding is the engagement where Mary and Joseph find themselves as Mary is with child. Joseph, upon finding out that his betrothed is pregnant by means other than himself, would have been well within his rights to have had Mary stoned, or to at least have her publicly punished in a very humiliating way. His only other option would have been to divorce her, which he planned to do quietly so as not to disgrace himself or Mary more than necessary. But before he could go through with the legal proceedings to end their marriage, Joseph had a dream unlike any other dream he'd ever had. He dreams a dream, though, that is all too real. An angel tells him to take Mary as his wife, to trust that she has been faithful to him, and that the child is from God. The angel further tells Joseph what he is to name this child. We hear two names that this child is to receive: Jesus, Savior, and Emmanuel, God with us. So it's up to Joseph. What is he going to do? Does he follow the dream or stick to his conventional options? Mary's pregnancy posed difficulties and uncertainties for both she and Joseph. Could Joseph really trust the angel in his dream? His reputation and honor are on the line, as are Mary's reputation and her very life. Even more than that, though, Joseph's decision will determine the future of the child in Mary's womb. God invites Joseph to take Mary as his spouse and to take the child to be born as his own. Joseph must decide what he will do. It's not an easy decision or a quick step that he takes, but in faith, Joseph decides not to shy away from God's invitation. He gifts both Mary and Jesus with his love, and they give Joseph their gift of love as well. Joseph marries Mary and raises Jesus as his own child, teaching him his trade, that of carpentry. Emmanuel, in Mary's womb, took a vulnerable position to Joseph's decision in a difficult predicament. But God trusted Joseph to choose love, and he did. What a gift. The days leading up to the birth of Jesus were messy at best. There was long traveling and crowded cities. But it was good news. The birth of Jesus came in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of difficult situations. And Jesus still comes to us in the midst of difficulty, in difficult situations, in the uncertainties of life. It is Jesus who is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the Jesus who loves us without strings attached, without conditions to be filled. This is the gift of love who comes to us to be with us. It's easy enough this time of year to let Mary and Joseph be relegated to characters on a stained glass window or figures in a nativity. But they're more than that. Mary and Joseph are flesh and blood people, like us. We get the picture from Matthew that they're a perfectly normal couple in almost every way. They're people from the countryside who live regular lives. They're not celebrities. There's no local news cameras following Mary around, documenting some miraculous pregnancy. Mary and Joseph don't make the headlines. They're easy to miss. In fact, most people do miss the birth of a miraculous baby. Only a handful of people even notice. And yet, it is an incredible gift to those handful. Such a gift of love, in fact, that they don't keep it to themselves. They tell the world. And because of them, our world today is different. The faith of a few, including Joseph, has transformed the world. These have been the ones who recognize the gift of love from God as something extra special, something not to be kept, but to be passed around. So I hope we can take after Joseph in recognizing God's gift of love as we share the gift of love with others. Emmanuel, Jesus, Savior, God is with us, and God loves us. God cherishes us, and we are made worthy of God's extravagant and eternal love through Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.